Today we're going to continue the study that we've been doing for the last several weeks on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're going to continue in the book of 2 Corinthians and look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 2 Corinthians. We want to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 10 through 11. Chapter 5 verses 10 to 11. And the Word of God has this to say, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Now, the passage here, which what's noteworthy about it is, the passage deals with the special judgment for the Christian called the judgment seat of Christ, also mentioned by name in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. And this judgment is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verses 11 through 15. No one goes to hell at this judgment. Christians are simply judged for their conduct as believers while living out their lives on earth. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And the Word of God has to say, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This is a great memory verse for all Christians. You see, the new birth produces a new creature, not just someone who makes a profession and continues to live after the world. See, as it says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The things when we were unsaved, the things of the world that we used to love to do, we don't want to do it anymore. Amen. It passes away. It's not part of us anymore because we are born again. We're new creatures in Christ. Amen. I remember with myself the changes that were made. Amen. I had a very foul mouth, but God took that away. When I became born again, he took away that foul language out of my mouth. He took away smoking cigarettes. Amen. He did many great things. Amen. I mean, before I was saved, I didn't read the Bible. I love to read it now every day and study it. Amen. Before I was saved, I didn't want to be in church. I love to be in church, to be with the brethren. Amen. To hear good sound Bible preaching and teaching. Amen. And the old friends, the unsaved friends, I don't want to be with them anymore. I don't have a desire to be with them, and they don't have a desire to be with me. So all things are passed away if you're born again, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, with me in verse 21. The Word of God says, "For he hath made him," that's Jesus Christ, "for he," the Father, "God the Father hath made him," God the Son, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus was sinless. And the reason God the Father did this, he made Jesus sin for us, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, we can't have the righteousness of God without being in Jesus Christ, without being born again. There's no way. That's why God the Father sacrificed God the Son, is so that we could be righteous, have the righteousness of God that only Christ can give us. So when God looks down upon us, he sees us as righteous. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. What a blessing, is it not? I think some of us take our salvation for granted. But it was a great price that was paid. God's only begotten Son was sacrificed for you and I, so that we could be saved, so that we could be born again, so we could have the righteousness of God. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. This is a great passage on giving. Cheerful giving is the New Testament rule. Amen? Over there in Luke chapter 6, in verse 38, the Word of God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it should be measured to you again. How you give, amen, by the measure that you give, that's how you will receive. Amen. But God loves a cheerful giver. That's the main rule in New Testament giving. It's not because you're under the law and the law says you have to do this, this, and this. No. You want to do it. Because you're saved, you're born again, you want to give. You're happy to give. Amen. You're cheerful about it. You know, when the collection plate is passed or whatever you have to take up the collection in your church, when it comes around, your attitude should be, oh, no, not another offering. They're taking up another offering. No, you should be happy to give. You should be happy that God has blessed you abundantly so that you can give to the work of the Lord. Amen? All right, let's move on to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 now in verses 3 through 6 and see what the Word of God has to say here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What's noteworthy about this passage? Well, this is a good passage on spiritual warfare. You see, our battles, my dear listeners, are supposed to be spiritual, not carnal. Though the only battles that some Christians know how to fight are carnal battles. The focused believer acknowledges that his mind is prone to wander from the will of God and that his fleshly members are prone to do likewise. Being saved just isn't enough. A conscious effort must be made continually to bring the mind in check and to cast down all that is contrary to Christ. This is a war that is never won while we live in this world. We live and lose battles, but the war continues until the Lord calls us home. Amen. All righty, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And we read here, 2 Corinthians 10, 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What's noteworthy about this verse is compare yourself to the Lord, amen, and you will always see room for improvement. Compare yourself to man, and you will become proud and fruitless as a believer. Amen. All righty, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verses 13 through 15. The Word of God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 13 and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. What's noteworthy about this passage, it tells us that Satan has ministers in like wolves and sheep clothing. They pass off as ministers of Christ. It's by their fruit, not their words, that we are to know them. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, what it says. Here's a warning to us. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By their actions, by their deeds, not their words. We have a lot of false prophets out there, ministers of Satan, who have, say, such flowery words and talk about love. But look at their actions. Look at their deeds. Their fruit is evil. Their fruit is corrupt. My dear listeners, is it not? Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse number 2. The Word of God says this: I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. So, what's noteworthy about this verse? Notice, it tells us, so there are three heavens. The third heaven that Paul speaks of here is up where the Lord and the angels are. Amen. We see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, the Word of God says, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. The second heaven is what we call space, the abode of the sun, the moon, and the stars. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 19, we read this: lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. The first heaven is earth's atmosphere. Genesis chapter 1 verse 20 says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. See, another way to remember it is that the first heaven is where the birds fly. The second one is where the rockets fly, and the third one is where the angels fly. Amen. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. We're doing a study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, and for right now we're in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at noteworthy verses here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this: "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." What we want to notice is that the signs of an apostle are spoken of in the past tense, just as they are in Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4, which reads, the Bible says in Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." You see, the apostle signs were for the conversion of the first century Jews, not for the entertainment of 21st century charismatics. Amen. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The Word of God says this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God, in the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Notice that one must go through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ before finding the love of God. And also we want to mention here that this is a good verse to show that the Bible shows us there is a Trinity. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is mentioned here. God the Father is mentioned, and God the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So we have the Trinity in this verse. All right, now we're going to move into the book of Galatians, and we're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of Galatians. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And notice what the Word of God has to say here. "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed." Amen. Let him be. So what we want to see here is that pretty much rules out any respectability for Joseph Smith in his Mormon Moroni angel. Amen. Or the Jehovah's Witnesses or any other cult. Amen. Let them be accursed if they're not preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the grace of God, my dear friends. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 1 with me. In verse number 13, the Word of God says, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now, just a note for any Campbellite, amen, or Church of Christ. The term Church of God is found three times in the Bible, while the Church of Christ isn't found once. Amen. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 2 with me in verse number 20. The Word of God says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My dear listeners, this is a great memory verse for every believer. As one brother put it, the only good Christian is a dead Christian. Amen. Only by being crucified with Christ and being dead to self can you and I truly serve God by allowing Christ to live in and through us. Amen. Alrighty, let's look at Galatians chapter 3 with me. In verse number 8, the Word of God says here in Galatians 3:8, in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Notice how the Holy Spirit attributes a personality to the scriptures. Further notice that the scripture was preached to Abraham before any written scripture existed. God's voice or God's word to Abraham was scripture, even though it wasn't written until 400 years later. Amen. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. The word of God says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace. My dear listeners, this is one of the most misused verses in the New Testament. We are constantly told by charismatics that one can fall from grace, yet no one in 50 of them can state where the verse is found or what the true context of the statement is. The notion of falling from grace was never presented as something that a blood-bought child of God could do. The statement was given to the Galatians, who were still thinking that the law had something to do with salvation, to those who were trying to be justified by the law, as the verse says. A person who seeks to be justified by the law clearly does not understand and appreciate the finished work of Christ on Calvary. So he has fallen from grace. He has not fallen out of grace, since he never entered grace to start with. He has fallen from grace, meaning that he fell a good distance from grace before even arriving. Amen. So I hope you understand that. It's very misused. People use this all the time to show that a born-again child of God can lose his salvation. And that's absolutely ridiculous. It's not talking. That's not the context of it. Amen. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. The Word of God says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My dear listeners, this is a good passage with which all believers should be familiar, since it deals with the fruit that you and I should be producing as Christians. After all, it is by our fruit that we are truly known as Christians. Amen. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Since the number is 9, the number of fruit is 9, a 9 is a number of fruitfulness, and there are 9 fruits named. No accidents with God. Amen. Notice with me now, we're going to look at Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Here we have one of the most profound truths that God gave to man. You reap what you sow. Oh, yes, you will. God is not to be mocked. Don't be deceived. That sin that you sowed, you're going to reap consequences. Amen? You may be saved. Someone who was a drunkard that gets saved, amen, he's still going to reap the consequences. His sin of drunkenness is forgiven, but his body may still have cirrhosis of the liver and other harmful side effects. Amen. In fact, according to Hosea chapter 8, verse 7, you reap more than you sow. Hosea 8, 7, the word of God says this: For they have sowed the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so it be yielded, the strangers shall swallow it up. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. The word of God says this: Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here is a good memory verse, my dear listeners, that remind us to hang in there, because God might not be as big of a hurry as we are. He never is he? But if we sow good seed, we will reap due in due season if we faint not, if we don't quit. Amen. Okay, and now we're going to move in to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9 with me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So in Ephesians chapter 2, the word of God has to say in verses 8 and 9, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, amen, lest any man should boast. My dear listeners, this is a great memory passage for every believer to use faithfully when witnessing to the lost. Most people believe that works. Doing more good than bad will earn them a place in heaven. But salvation is clearly not of works. Salvation is by grace through faith. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not your sun go down upon your wrath. The anger here is to be focused at sin, so that we fight it with passion, rather than being comfortable with it. But we are to be careful in such anger and not permit ourselves to sin. For instance, being angry about abortion laws is good, but allowing such anger to eat away at us and lead us to a bomb abortion clinics is not good. Amen? Alrighty. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We read this: And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Christian has been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, not merely until he sins and loses his salvation, as some teach. And to go along with this, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. These are two great verses on the believer's eternal security. Well, we're just about run out of time. Thank you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor study. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.